Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Appreciate you listening, and whether you're driving in your car or getting ready in the morning or sipping on your coffee at the kitchen table, wherever you are, I just appreciate you taking some time out of your day to listen in. I know that some of you listen as a family for family devotions, and that means a lot to me. And so if you're a teenager today or even a younger child, well, thank you for taking time to listen to a portion of God's word every day. You are developing an incredible habit in your life, and you've got a great mom and dad that want you to know the Bible. So thank you for all that you're doing for the Lord. We're in Acts chapter 10, and we just heard one of the greatest gospel messages ever preached, and one of the most important gospel messages ever preached, because Peter preached to Cornelius, and Dr. Sisk, you pointed out that there were probably many other, matter of fact, the Bible says, many others in that household, and Peter just preached the simple gospel message. And so here we are in verse 44. We're going to finish out the chapter today. So Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, where the Bible says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." See, he didn't even finish his message.
No. That's great, though. Yeah, wonderful.
You know, people have asked me, and I'm going to ask you, Dr. Sisk, you know, when does a person get saved? You know, do they get saved when they finish the sentence, you know, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," when they pray the prayer? You know, salvation is a hard issue. And I believe that when people pray to be saved, they've already been saved because they've already believed in their heart. They've already understood it and believed in their heart. And now confession is made. Now Yep. Their words are just validating that they've put their heart faith in Christ.
I went to a Youth for Christ meeting, and I really wanted to get saved. You know, I didn't have any idea what people did when they went forward. But I went that morning, on Saturday morning, I got to thinking about the meeting. And I was trying to find an excuse for not going. But you know, and then God began to deal with my heart. I mean, you don't have any hope. You know, my dad was a coal miner. He drank a lot. You know, the home was not good. We were in abject poverty. I don't have any hope. I need God, you know. So I went to church that night and said, whatever they do when they go forward, I'm going to do that. And I did pray, and I asked the Lord to save me. But I actually believe, and I've said this many, many times, I believe I got saved as soon as I stepped out and went forward.
Oh, amen.
Amen. It really doesn't make any difference exactly when I was saved. The main thing is I know I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And in the book of Acts, my friends, Acts is a transitional book. So what do we know from the Word of God? Okay, we know that when a person trusts Christ, so if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So Romans chapter 8 says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Or the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, ye are not your own." So the Bible is very clear that when a person receives Christ today in this New Testament dispensation, they're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, in the transitional time when the gospel was being introduced to this various people groups, first to the Jews in Acts 2, and then to the Samaritans in Acts 8, and then to the Gentiles here in Acts chapter 10, what we find is that the Holy Ghost came upon people after salvation. Now, that's not the way it happens today. And the reason for that is because God was demonstrating that these people really got it. So how is a Jewish person, because the gospel came from the church at Jerusalem and Jewish believers, how are they to know that the Samaritans, you know, really got it? How are they to know that God has saved these Gentile people? They know it through the filling of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues in the Bible was not some ecstatic, unintelligible language. No, it was a supernatural gift of God to speak a language unknown to the person speaking, but known to others. And it was a validation that the Holy Spirit was actually indwelling that, coming upon and indwelling that person. So right. Dr. Sisk, you know, if speaking in tongues were still valid for today, you wasted a whole lot of time in language school.
Yeah, I went to a language school with some people that believed in tongues, but they had to study Japanese the same way I did.
Right. So you know, there are different views on this, my friends, but you know, I think the biblical to me, that the Bible teaches that these were sign gifts that accompanied the apostles before the completion and canonization of God's word to validate the message of the apostles as foundational offices in the local church. Now, we no longer have those offices. They were the foundation that Christ used, Ephesians chapter 2, apostles and prophets. But we don't need the apostolic office or the office of the prophet today because we have the complete copy of the word of God.
Yeah, that's well put. Well, but you know, let's get back just for a minute. It's when you're saved. I meet so many people and they have that. I'm not sure I said the right words. I'm not sure I prayed the right prayer. But you're not saved by the words you said. You're not saved by the prayer you pray. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you're trusting Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, don't overcomplicate what God has simplified. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision. So another way we could say that is the Jews. So they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. So remember, Peter brought these Jewish people with him. And when they saw this happen, the speaking in tongues, which was an evidence of the Spirit of God, they were just shocked.
Blown away, yeah.
You know, have you ever been shocked by somebody that you never thought would be saved that got saved?
Oh, yeah.
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 I mean, God can save anybody, and the Jews thought the Gentiles are beyond God.
Yeah.
There's no way. And now they're seeing a whole congregation of Gentile people get saved, and they're shocked.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll give you one real good example. The night I got saved, I had two great thoughts. Number one, this is wonderful. I'm saved. Number two, I wish my dad was saved.
Mm.
My dad drank a lot. He's a hard worker, you know, but when he got drunk, like anybody gets drunk, they're crazy, okay? And I never saw my dad in church one time, all my days in my home there and so forth. But my dad moved up to Gary, Indiana, when we a little bit before we did. Up Virginia and I got married, we moved up there too. And, we didn't move. We went up there. We didn't have anything to move.
Right. You moved. But, you had no stuff to move.
Yeah, and we joined the Black Oak Baptist Church, and we were having a revival meeting. And, in fact, we had 2 weeks of cottage prayer meetings. And I got so burdened for my dad. So before I went to work on Monday morning, the first night of the revival meeting, I went by my dad's house, and I said, "Hey, Papa," I said, "we've got Johnny Robinson from Kentucky coming to preach our revival at Black Oak Baptist Church. I sure wish you'd go with us." And he said, "I was just talking to your mom yesterday. I think I will go." Mm. At a couple of funerals, okay? Other than that, never one time going to church. And he went that Monday night. And when the invitation was given, I just put my arm around my dad and I said, "Hey, Papa, I've been praying for you for a long time. I'd sure like to see you get saved." And with tears in his eyes, he said, "Son, I want to get saved." Mm. And he did. I mean, it's wonderful, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, when you've tried and tried and tried and nothing seemed to work, and then all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, dealt with him in such a way that he got saved. And he lived the last 17 years of his life for the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so good. Look at verse 45. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. See, there's the purpose.
Yeah.
They couldn't see the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. We see the evidence. God sees the substance. Well, the evidence was convincing to them. If they're speaking in tongues, that's not something a person can do naturally. That's a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
So this must be God. So again, the speaking in tongues was a sign to the Jews. So they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, and I love this, verse 47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" In other words, the evidence is they're saved. So if they're saved, then the very first thing they need to do is be baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So what a gospel story.
Oh, wonderful.
So your dad got saved that night at that revival meeting. And I have to imagine that very, very soon thereafter, he was baptized.
He was, yeah. Probably we had about 27 people saved and baptized during that meeting. It's a real good revival meeting. And my dad and I were driving down Colfax Avenue one day, and we passed the tavern, and the tavern was called the Stummel Inn. Of course, you went to school in Hiles Anderson, so you know where Black Oak was and Gary at.
I lived in Gary.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that, and when we passed that tavern, my brother's car was sitting out there, you know, and my dad had been saved about 2 weeks, something like that. And when he saw my brother's car, big tears came in his eyes. And he said, "I don't know why Bo would want to spend so much time in a place like that." I thought, okay, he's born again. He can't even remember what he was 2 weeks ago.
Man, you know? I love it.
But it's just a great, and by the way, later my brother did get saved. And the whole family, in fact, I was the first one of my siblings that was ever saved, okay? And I had eight siblings, and all of them got saved.
Praise God. You know? My friends, you might be listening today, and maybe you've never been saved. And today's your day. Behold, now is the accepted time.
Yeah.
Now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for you. He was buried. He rose again. He offers you salvation. It's in him. Trust him today. It's true. And then maybe today you are saved. And I would imagine that's the case for most, if not all of you. But who is it in your life? A dad, a brother, a sister, whom you maybe have even given up on. Hey, listen, these people were amazed that God could save Cornelius.
Yeah.
And God still does amazing things. And so don't give up. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Let's see God do some great things in our families. That's all the time we have for today, my friends. Appreciate you joining us. And we look forward to diving into chapter 11 next episode. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.